Hey everybody, welcome back to this week's show. Remember, follow me on Instagram at TheJesusShowNTO. You can find me on Facebook, The Jesus Show Not That One. You can find me on TikTok at The Jesus Show Not That One. You can find me on YouTube, type in The Jesus Show Not That One, and you can email me your questions, comments, and concerns, TheJesusShowNTO@gmail.com. All right. So I'm doing the show today, clearly in the morning. Well, I shouldn't say the morning, but during the day. And the baby and Allie are not home. Are they out running errands, you might be asking? And no, they are not out running errands. They're in California. Maybe about a week ago, Allie said, so her mom worked from, she's on a trip, and one of the parts of the trip is London to LA, and then from LA she had a long layover, and then she was supposed to deadhead from LA back to Newark, and then when she gets to Newark, come back home to Chicago. So Ma had an idea, and she said, well, why don't I just go from L.A. back home to Chicago instead of having to go all the way to Newark and then go to Chicago? So if we're deadheading, there's certain things that have to happen for us. But normally, if you're deadheading to end a trip, most flight attendants and pilots, they deviate. So they'll tell the company, I don't want to take that flight. But because we're supposed to be on that flight, we're supposed to get paid for it because it's part of our trip. But it's one of those things where the company can let us not take the flight, physically take the flight, but we still get paid for it. Again, because it's built into our trip. So it's part of the guarantee that we're getting paid for that trip. But we don't have to take it. So you can call and say, hey, I want to deviate. I want to go home instead of doing whatever. Or some people pick up a trip that takes them home. Then they're supposed to deadhead back. And if the company doesn't need you to work that flight because of whatever reason, they can let you go and they go, yeah, okay, you can just stay there. So some people do that. So Allie's mom said, I'm going to have a long layover in LA. Why don't you come out there and bring the baby? So then Allie told me and I went, you want to do what? With who? And initially, I was bothered by it. And I'm bothered by it because I don't like to be away. I don't like to willfully be away from the baby. I don't voluntarily want him to be away from me. I always want him with me and near me. Obviously, when I go to work, I can't take him with me, obviously. And he can't be with me on the plane, obviously, because I'm working and I'm flying around from place to place. That makes sense. But when I'm home, I want to be with him. I want to hang out with him. I want to be with my son. So when she told me, I was like, and I don't necessarily know that I vocalized that I didn't like it. Or maybe I vocalized that I didn't like it, but I don't think I vocalized how much I didn't like it to Allie. I dropped them off at the airport yesterday. And this is the first time that she's traveling with a baby alone. And it was a little difficult. I'd let her tell you how it was because she was with the baby, not me. But she was telling me that it was difficult. He was being he's being a baby. He was being a toddler. But then I got home, and when I got into the car, I don't think I told her this. When I got into the car at the airport, I started crying a little bit because I looked back, and even if he's not with me in the car, his car seat's in the car. And there's been times where we've taken out the car seat because we only have the one car, and if I have to take it, then I go to work and I come back. But it's mostly for work. Like, I'm using the car for work. But this time, I looked back and his car seat wasn't in there because it was for fun. And I got this, like, I was like, why am I crying? So I drove back, and then the moment I got home, I was like, oh, I don't like this. I started crying. So I text her. I text Allie, just, hey, I don't like it. So that's why they're not at the house, and you don't hear anybody else at the house except for me. But also, I don't think I've ever recorded an episode where you can hear everybody, like, that's in the house talking. I do have all the windows open except for those two, the front windows. I have all the other windows in the house open because it's nice out. And I'm not too sure. I can't really hear them in my earphones. The outside noise, the background noise. But I don't know. I figured I was gonna try something. And if I hear the episode and it bothers me, then I won't do that anymore. And I apologize if you can hear the background noise. Yeah, so there, Allie and the baby are in LA with Ma until tomorrow. I think they get back tomorrow night? Tomorrow afternoon? I really don't know. I go to work on the 6th. So, yeah. I don't know. I just hope that they come back early enough that I can hang out with the baby before I got to go to work. I saw some friends that were walking down the trail yesterday with their baby. Because I got back, and then I took the boys for a walk. And as I'm taking them for a walk, I run into them, and it's just kind of funny because I go, oh man, now what are you going to do with this freedom? And I was like, I don't know. But then I really, to really think about it, I was like, what am I going to do? Because I've had days off, or not a day off. Because when we're at work and we have a 24-hour layover or longer, I don't view that as a day off because I'm out because of work. Is it a relaxing day? Yeah, it's a relaxing day, but it's not, I don't feel, I have a day off. So now that I'm at home and I have a day off, or I have a couple days off, and Allie and the baby aren't here, I'm kind of like, what am I going to do? I told her yesterday, I was like, I'm going to clean the house and make sure everything's clean. She goes, yeah, you don't have to do that. I go, yeah, I know, but I want to, number one, but number two, I thought to myself, what the hell else am I going to do? Like, just sit around and do nothing? I don't know. This is a really different feeling because before the baby, I mean, that's what I was used to. If Allie was gone, I'd do nothing. Especially when the dogs were around. It was a whole lot of nothing. It was just veg out and watch TV, sleep all day, just bullshit. I mean, run errands and stuff if I had to. And then we got the dogs, and then it was, veg out, but we have to walk the boys because we didn't have, in Vegas, we didn't have a backyard or anything. So we had to walk the boys. And then now that we're here and the baby's here, it's, you know, responsibility with the babies, responsibility with the dogs. So now that it's just the dogs again, I'm like, that's odd. Yeah. So that's how my day's going. How's your day going? Did I? Yes, I did. Ha ha ha. I was about to talk about something that I talked about last week. Ha ha ha. So MLS is back. It is officially back. And the first game of the 2024 MLS season started with Inter Miami and RSL. They played in Miami, and Miami won 2-0. I feel like Miami could have scored a lot more goals, at least maybe two more, but, you know, they won. And then, I watched the New England game. So ever since AJ was playing for New England, what, he played two seasons for him? When AJ was there, clearly I was following the team. And now that I was following the team, I still follow the team. I know some of the players on there, meaning, excuse me, I know who the players are. Like, I know that Boateng's on there, Farrell's on there, Jones, Carlos, his brother. So I know players as far as like, who's on there. But I don't have any ties to the team. Now that AJ's gone, and then now that Omar's gone, I'm like, okay, whatever. They've lost their two first MLS games, so they're 0-2. And I was thinking about this yesterday. I don't know kind of how to feel about them, because at first I think to myself, like, I want them to win. And then I think to myself, but why though? Like, I didn't grow up a Revolution fan. Because they played the Galaxy in MLS Cup 2014 and the Galaxy beat them, I did not like them, just because, like, the team, the LA Galaxy, is the team that I'm supporting, is the team that my friend is on. I want the Galaxy and AJ to win. Why would I want New England to win, you know? And I've always watched from afar, but I don't feel any which way about them. And then now, I don't know, now I think it's just, I'm interested how they're going to do now that Bruce Arena isn't there, now that Omar isn't there, AJ isn't there. Now they're just another team, but I'm watching them. I don't know if I'm going to watch them, like, from here on out, like, follow them just to know, like, they're doing good, they're doing bad, blah, 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 whatever. I don't know. It's not weird. It's different. I don't know how to feel about them. I'm like, The first game last week, Veroni, their number 9, he got a red card. Stupid red card. It was really stupid. But yeah, I didn't think last week they played well. This week, I don't think they played well. But then I don't know this week if it was they didn't play well enough or if Toronto played better. Because I didn't watch the game. I only watched highlights. So I can't necessarily speak to their performance. But I don't know. I guess we'll see how the Revs do. So that was... So the first game of the season was Miami and Salt Lake. Miami won. Then the next... I guess that was the first game, and then the opening weekend. DC beat New England 3-1. That was bad. Minnesota beat Austin 2-1. I saw the Columbus Atlanta game. That was a good game. LAFC and Seattle. Did I watch that one? I watched that one. Yeah. LAFC won 2-1. The Charlotte NYFC game. NYFC. Sorry. They put NYCFC. New York City Football Club. Yeah, whatever. Anyways. I didn't see that one, but Charlotte beat NYFC 1-0. Montreal and Orlando. Wow. They tied 0-0. Philly and Chicago, they tied 2-2. Which I honestly thought Philly was going to kill them just because Chicago was so bad last year, but they tied. Dallas beat San Jose 2-1. Houston and Kansas City 1-1. Salt Lake and St. Louis 1-1. And then Portland beat Colorado 4-1. That was insane. I think... Let me check real quick. Again, things I should have done before I started recording and I didn't. Does this show the coach? It does not show the coach. I think the coach for Portland is Gary Neville. I think that's who it is. Because he was let go by Miami. And I could swear that Gary Neville is with Portland. So he went to Portland and he wasn't received very well by the Timbers army. And I don't think anybody really thought that Gary Neville was going to go into Portland, being that there's a coaching change. I think they have some player issues. I don't think they have everybody on the field that they want. So to come out and win 4-1, everybody's like, oh shit, they put a spanking on him. So that was surprising. Then the next day, Sunday, Miami and the LA Galaxy played, and they tied 1-1. If the Galaxy scored their PK, they would have won 2-1, but they didn't. Toronto and Cincinnati, 0-0. They were playing in Cincinnati. I watched that game. Toronto did very well. And then Nashville and Red Bulls, 0-0. Cincinnati, I thought was going to destroy Toronto. Again, because of last season's performance with Toronto. But Toronto did very, very well. I was surprised. And then Saturday, Miami beat Orlando 5-0. I was like, holy shit. The Galaxy beat San Jose 3-1. That was good. Seattle, Austin 0-0. Minnesota, Columbus 1-1. Salt Lake beat LAFC in a snow game. It looked insane. Salt Lake beat them 3-0. Vancouver, Charlotte 1-1. Cincinnati beat Chicago 2-1. Montreal beat Dallas 2-1. The Red Bulls beat Houston 2-1. Kansas City, Philly 1-1. St. Louis beat NYFC 2-0. Colorado, Nashville 1-1. And Portland and DC United 2-2. So, and then yesterday's game, Toronto beat New England 1-0. I don't know. I can't really, I'm not one to look at very early results like this and go, oh, this team's gonna going to go. This team's going to make it to the playoffs, or this team I think is going to win MLS Cup. I don't have that kind of foresight. But at least the things that I've noticed, the Galaxy, just in the two games that they've played, they look significantly different. They look significantly better, which is good for them. And so do Toronto. So those are my two that I'm like, okay, I see you guys. And if 5-0 that Miami just dropped on Orlando is any indication that they may be getting better and finding their rhythm, that's going to be super dangerous for the whole league, because that's going to be insane if they just start dropping 4, 5, 6, 7 on teams weekly. Like, man, fuck it, whatever. That's going to be crazy. One question that I've been asked many times by many different people, and I'm not too sure if I've addressed it on the show, but I'm going to do it. People ask me, who do I think is better, Cristiano Ronaldo or Messi? And as I've given answers throughout the years, but I think as I step back and I really think about it, I want to say that I think the easiest answer would be Messi, because it's one of those things where I go, well, Messi's won a World Cup and Ronaldo hasn't. Cristiano hasn't. I think that's the simple answer. But then if I really put some thought into it, you have to think, you know, different awards. You have to think, who have they played for? Because I definitely, I've thought about it before, where I think to myself, well, the reason why Messi had so much success in Barcelona is because look at all the people he got to play with, right? But then you can shoot down you can use the same argument for Cristiano, because he went to Real Madrid, right? Each player has done fantastic things in their professional career. And I think what really comes down to is, why is it that we're so obsessed, I guess I would use that word, obsessed with comparing athletes? I think it's, it's weird, because you hear people say like, oh no, Cristiano's the best, that, you know, because Messi's trash, blah, 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 blah. And then you hear people say, no, Messi's the best and Cristiano's trash. But I think to myself, they've been both doing it at a very high level for a very long time. And as of now, it doesn't look like either one of them is going to retire anytime soon. For me, I think they both still have at least minimum 5 years left. They're both talented. Not just talented, they're gifted. It looks like they put in, you know, the effort, the work, the everything you need to do, and the way they see the game. So when people tell me that now, or ask me the question, who do you think is better? My answer is normally just, I think they're both great. And and some people have told me, like, that's a cop-out response. That's just, you know, you trying to be diplomatic, or, you know, you just don't know who to pick. And I tell them, I don't know who to pick, because, number one, I've never done anything remotely close to what they've done in their career. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm not even touching 0. I'm like negative a million. So to look at athletes like them and go, well, I think this one's better because the other one can't do this. Like, I can't do any of that shit. And it's kind of like when people say, you know, oh, who's better, LeBron or Jordan? And even that's ridiculous. And I was listening to, was it Two Bears, One Cave? No, I think I was listening to Your Mom's House, where they were talking about, I think it was with their last guest, Verzi. The subject came up, you know, who's better? And Verzi and Tom were saying, I think it was Tom, he said that it's not necessarily who's better. It's as a kid, who did you watch growing up? That's where you're going to automatically drift towards. That's who you're going to think is the better player because that's who you watched growing up. And I thought to myself, oh, yeah, that's that seems very astute, very like he made a lot of good points. But then I think for this, at least for Messi and Cristiano, it's you have two amazingly great, phenomenal, gifted soccer players that are playing at the same time. And it's a constant battle at the same time. And I don't think that we've had at least many of those, you know, in any sport where it's back and forth where, you know, one has won this and then the other wins that and they keep winning the same awards off and on and, you know, they're having great success with their clubs and yeah, I don't know. So when it comes to Cristiano and Messi, I say like whoever you like, but it's hard to not acknowledge. Like even if you have a favorite, even if you say Messi's the best, it's hard to discredit the other athlete because when you look at what they've done, it's amazing. Same with, you know, Cristiano fans. They go, Cristiano's better, Messi's trash, but he's not though because look what he's done. You may have a preference, that's fine. But to discredit the other one and say, oh, they're not good, like, I don't know, you definitely don't know what you're talking about. Did I make any sense with what I just said? Because I kind of feel like it didn't, but I hope I did. And I don't know, maybe who do you guys like, Messi or Cristiano? You tell me. So I'm sure you guys have seen college basketball games. You've seen college football games. I'm trying to think of other sports where they storm, or the college kids, or at least the fans, storm the fields. I think it's just those two. College football and college basketball. So if you guys don't know, I think her name is Caitlin Clark, the basketball player for Iowa. She, I think, just broke the all-time scoring record for college, for a college player. I think it was, she had scored, I think she broke the women's basketball college scoring record, and then she just keeps scoring points. And then she surpassed every college basketball player, which was some guy from some time where there was black and white photos. She's amazing. They lost a game, and then it was like 3-2-1. Game was over. The fans of the opposing team stormed their court because I think Iowa was playing away. So they lost. It's kind of a big deal. The kids stormed the court in that There was some random fan that ran into Caitlin Clark, knocked her down, and she wasn't seriously injured, but, you know, she got knocked down. And when I saw that video, there was a lot of people that were saying she was just being dramatic, she shouldn't have fell on the ground like that, and blah, blah, blah. And I saw it as none of those fucking people should have been on the court in the first place. Caitlin Clark should have never gotten knocked to the floor. Like, what's the point of storming the court? And then most recently, a Duke player, after they lost, their fans stormed the court, and he got hurt. One of the Duke players got hurt. And I thought to myself, what's the point on storming the court as the fans? I don't understand. I mean, they don't allow it in professional sports. I mean, I've seen videos of people doing it in Europe for soccer games when something huge happens. But even that, I think to myself, like what are we doing? These college kids who are in the stands, they have contributed nothing to the team winning. They're just fans. So why storm the court? I don't know. I've seen this happen when I was younger, and I thought to myself, even then I thought it was stupid. And then I see it now and I think it's even dumber. I'm like, what do you get out of... Here's the way I think about it. This college team beats another college team. Let's use basketball, for example. Right? Let's say Fresno State beats Duke, right, in a college basketball game. NCAA Division I. They play, Fresno beats Duke. Oh my God. Well, it's one game, right? And the school and the kids get so excited. Okay, cool. But then what's the record of Fresno State going into the game? Is it 19-0? Is it 20-0? Is it 1-19? Is it 5-15? And then it's, what's the record after you beat Duke? Do you go undefeated for the rest of the season? Do you lose the rest of your games? Do you go 500? Do you go below 500? My point is, it doesn't make sense as to why. And I'm not saying that these schools, these kids shouldn't celebrate a victory. No, celebrate the victory all you want. But going onto the court, what's the point of going onto the court? It doesn't make your win any better. The team still won. If you didn't storm the court, the team still wins. It still goes on the number of games that they won during that season. You know? Like, I don't get it. Same thing in football, college football. The team wins. Then the kids run onto the field. And then at least for those games, I can't really speak to college basketball because I don't think I've ever seen it. But then they tear down the goalposts. They like break them. I'm like, what? what's the point of that shit? I don't understand it. I think it's so fucking stupid. Hey, the team that we support, that we're going to school at, they just won. They did all the hard work. Yeah? Well, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to go celebrate as if I had a huge as if I scored 5 touchdowns for the team. That's what I'm going to do. But why? Because that makes sense, obviously, dumbass. Huh? I don't understand. I just don't get it. It's fucking weird. I don't even think I know. I think I'd want to talk to somebody who has stormed a court or a field after a victory and really try to like, so what do you get out of it? Like, did you come? Like, the victory was so good that you're like, and then it was like, you know, the final whistle or the final play, the clock zero, your team wins, and you're like, and then you come and you're like, I don't know what to do with this, you know, penis cum or vagina cum. I gotta go right onto the field. This is crazy. Or is it that you're about to come, and then once you're on the field or the court, you're like, and then you hit, and you're like, oh, that's so good. Yeah. I don't. And now you might be asking me, hey, Jess, why are you talking about coming when a college team just won a game? I don't know. I'm trying to understand why somebody would want to run onto the court again because they did nothing. They were just yelling and shouting for the team that they want to win, and then the team won. I don't know. I want to say that there's a lot of things that people do that I don't understand. Is there a lot of things? I'm trying to think. Yeah, there's. I wouldn't say there's a lot, but I feel like the things that people do, because I don't even want to say normal people, because it's not normal for people to get so excited that you're going to run onto a court. I don't know, if I was ever there, I feel, this is an I feel, because I can't say like I would never storm a court if I was in college and the team won. I don't know that because that's never happened. I've never been put in that situation. So I can't say definitely for sure I would never. No, I can't say that. But I feel as if I was there, I think to myself, this is stupid. Why would I do that? Also, I kind of feel like it would be, maybe some people do it out of fear, because if you're in the stands, especially if you're close to the court or the field, and you're close to the, you know, close to the action, and everybody starts rushing down to get onto the field or court, I think at that point you probably need to get on to the field or court just to get away from the onslaught of the mob coming towards you. Maybe that's why a lot of people do it too. Maybe it's these assholes in the back that they have shitty seats and they're like, we gotta get down there. And then the people towards the front are like, oh, geez. I don't want to get trampled and, you know, die. I don't know. That might be it. Again, I've never done it. I've never talked to anybody that has done it. So I really don't know the motives behind that or how that even comes about. All right. Last thing I'm going to leave you with. I know I've talked about it a couple times already, but I'm going to say it again. My brother Greg is trying to get to 1,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel. Right now, as of right now, he is 30 people away. He has 970 subscribers. My brother has 604 videos on his YouTube channel. He does all kinds of cool things. He did a food, let's see, let's do his videos. His newest one, getting an oil change. and my mouth caught fire. Walking the pup. Ichiban Japanese food restaurant. Scary meeting. What's your favorite toy or board game? Is the food still fooding in the kingdoms of Asia at the Fresno's, at the Fresno Chaffee Zoo? I mean, he does all kinds of adventures. He was doing hiking for a while. I think the only reason why he hasn't had any hiking videos lately is because it's been colder and he has a job now. So I think the times where he was able to go, like, get away and go do some hiking adventures was easier for him. Now I believe he needs to plan it. So he just can't go. And I don't know. I'm talking about my brother's schedule, which I have no clue about what's going on. But if you guys go to YouTube, if you guys want to throw him a follow, again, it's Dude with a Crew, D-O-O-D, with a crew, C-R-U, Dude with a Crew. Go like, share, subscribe to his channel. He has some Eso Prices coming your way once he does hit that 1,000 subscribers. He's really excited, and it's crazy to see. We were just talking about this the other day, where somebody reached out to him and they were pretty much like, hey man, like, what do you suggest I do? So he told the person, like, this is what I did, man. And then the person was like, he asked for my brother's advice, and then he was like, I guess I'll do it. He's like, hey man, like, you're asking me. I'm telling you what I did. I can't tell you, like, there's no secret sauce to success. Like, it's not, for example, this. I'm going to start a podcast. Okay, I want to be uber successful by tomorrow. Like, that shit doesn't happen. And it's cool that I've seen Greg, my brother, put so much work into this. And for it to be growing the way that it is. And I mean, I think he's been doing this for like 3-4 years. So it's, again, it hasn't been overnight. And I mean, I've shared with Greg, I've shared with my brother how, I mean, I don't ever see myself being, you know, Joe Rogan successful, but I've put some levels of success that I would want with me doing this show. And I have certain things that I want, but also the biggest thing that I share with my brother and that my brother shares with me is I need to be more consistent. I need to be like, I need to do my part, right? I can't just do it whenever I want, like I have. And for some good reasons, other reasons, not so much. Like, the reason why I didn't put out an episode last week was because I got wrapped up in this. I was supposed to get a paycheck from work, and then they send it to the wrong account. And so I've been trying to figure that out. And like, each day it's calling a bunch of people and trying to get stuff. And then when I do have downtime, I'm just so frustrated and pissed off about that I didn't record a show. So, like, stupid shit like that, where, yeah, it's okay to, you know, things are going to come up in life. And yeah, I'm going to deal with them, clearly. But also, like, I have fun doing this. And I hope you guys can see and hear that I have a good time doing this, because also I feel like this is kind of like therapy for me. Sometimes I talk about bullshit, and then other times I talk about, you know, some real heavy shit, and it's nice to get it off my chest. But it's one of those things where if I'm not consistent with it, then it kind of shows you my level of commitment to the show. You know what I mean? Because again, nobody's making me do this. I do this on my own. On my own time. There's no sponsors telling me, hey, you need to do this ad read, blah, 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 blah. And I think that also takes away from me being successful, because there's been times where I just nonchalantly, like, I just won't do it today. But it's like, okay, but if you're trying to achieve these goals, you have to do it. Because what's going to happen? Somebody's going to start giving you money and then you're magically going to start doing it? Kind of, but also, like, you don't want to be forced to do it. And my point is, getting back to what my brother was telling this other YouTuber, like, hey, man, you can't just expect the shit overnight. You have to do the work. And it's really cool to see that my brother has been doing the work. And I hope, I mean, he's close. I hope he gets rewarded with these 1,000 followers. And I hope that he continues to grow and gets thousands more followers. That would be dope. So like I said, go follow him on his YouTube channel, Dude with a Crew. Once again, D-O-O-D with a crew, C-R-U. And that's all I wanted to talk about this week. Remember, guys, rate, like, share, and subscribe. And I will see you next week.